हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः त्वं जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Shri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 3 Enumeration of Leela Avatars and Vibhutis. Page 39. Udriti. Srila Rupa Goswami elaborates on the Paravasta, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Avesha forms in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The avatars may be divided into four: Avesha, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Paravasta. Among them, the Avesha are the same as the Avesha Vataras previously described, such as the Kumaras, Narada, and Prithu, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 34 and 35. Thus, it should be understood that calling the Avesha forms avatar of the Lord is a secondary designation, since they are actually jivas, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 44. These forms of the Lord with less power than the Paravasta forms are described according to the degree of power that they show. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 45, footnote 7. Now begins a description of the general characteristics of the Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. The difference is here described. The Prabhava forms have less power and the Vaibhava forms have more power. According to the scriptures, the Prabhava forms are of two types. The first time appears for a short period of time and is not well known. These are Mohini, Hamsa, and the white, red, Shama, and black forms of the Yuga avatars. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 46, footnote 8. The Prabhava forms are divided according to the qualities shown by the forms. There are six forms which do not remain for a long period. Right? So they just come in a very short pastime and go. Like that. While you see others, they like Vamana, he'll still be there. You know, they perform their pastime, they're still around. So you have. Okay. The second type are Dhanvantari, Rishabha, verse 25. Rishabha 25. It's, we only mean Rishabha 25, not Rishabha 32 or.
25 is
written. Right. But you don't want. What about Rishabha 108? Was it, it's not a footnote or something, right?
In my end, it didn't come as okay.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. Here, what's it? Rishabha 25.
Okay, that might be because I copied from Laghu
Bhagavatamrita.
After that, there might be some.
Oh, maybe there's a. Okay, or there was some footnote, okay. Okay. Vyasa, Dattatreya, and Kapila. They are writers of scriptures and act like sages. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 47, footnote 9. These forms are made visible for a longer period of time and act like sages, such as Dhanvantari. There are five in this category. The total number of Prabhava forms is 11. Okay, so six in the shorter leelas and five in the longer. Okay. There are 21 Vaibhava forms. Kurma, Matsya, Nara, Narayana, Varaha, Hayagriva, Prishnigarbha, Baladev, and the 14 Manvantara avatars, including Yajna and Vamana. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 48 to 49. Varaha and Hayagriva among the Navavyuha, and Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana among the Manmantara avatars. Though by Bhava forms are considered similar to Parvasta forms. Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, Chapter 4, Text 50-51, Footnote 10. Among the 21 Vaibhava forms, special ones such as Varaha are now mentioned. The Navavyuha are as follows: Vasudev Sankarshan, Aniruddha Prajumna, Narayana, Nrisinga, Hayagriva, Varaha, and Brahma. Varaha and Hayagriva among the Navavyuha, and Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana among the Manvantara avatars. So this Hari, that's Yajna, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Ajita and Vamana among the Manvantara avatars. Okay, so it's Varaha and Hayagriva among the Navavyuha, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana among the Manvantara avatars, making a total of 6 avatars, are similar to the Parvasta forms. Among the 21 Vaibhava forms, these are outstanding because of having additional powers. Okay. Now there will be discussion of the Parvasta forms. The Padma Purana Uttarakhanda 226.42 says, the 6 qualities are fully manifest in Nrisinga, Rama, and Krishna. They are thus considered Parvasta. The relation between the other two, Nrisinga and Rama, and Krishna is like lamps lit from the lamp of full 6 powers manifest in Krishna. Lagu Bhagavatam Rita 6.5, text 16, okay, footnote 11. Parvasta is now described. This means that Krishna has all 6 qualities of the Lord in full. It means it's what he has, and the others are how much they're manifesting. Among the 3 successively, Nrisinga, then Rama, and finally Krishna manifest more powers. The example is given to conceive of their relationship and powers. Right, so that would mean then of the Vaibhava, then as it mentioned here, then Varaha, Hayagriva, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana, they manifest even additional powers than the more of these 6 than the Vaibhava. So Vaibhava are always Swamsa, or Vaibhava can will be above Swamsa?
Vaibhava are...
Because definitely the ones with less power would be Swamsa. Because Swamsa means, you know, Swamsa. Okay.
Vaibhava are Swamsa only, Maharaj.
Okay, so the Vaibhava and the Prabhava. And the Prabhava are all Swamsa. Okay, and then the Avesha are the, okay, are then there. Okay, so then Paravasta would be then what's above Swamsas.
What it's called is Vilasa forms.
Okay,
Vilasa. Tatsama.
Tatsama. Okay, so then Swamsa means Taramsa.
Yeah.
So these are all Taramsa, and then the Paravasta are Tadsama.
That point is described by Jiva Goswami.
That's coming up next now.
No, it was already described that Tadsama and the
Swayamrupa
are Paravasta forms. So Paravasta form, in order to be, it has to be Tadsama or Swayamrupa.
Okay.
Means it should be Vilasa forms or Swayam forms of the God.
Okay.
And rest all are in the Swamsa category.
So then when we're talking about Paravasta also, then that's how the aspect of what do you call it? That we were saying before of Balaram and Lord Chaitanya, because they're manifesting the full opulences.
Yeah.
So even though they're not mentioned specifically here in that context, they would be in that category.
Because they are within the Swayam category of Krishna.
Yes.
So Padma Purana doesn't mention that.
No, but because Lord Chaitanya is hidden, because otherwise then they may take it that Yuga avatar, because it's already been put in this category of Prabhava.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was even the lighter ones. Like that. So it seems that, you know, you're going to have different varieties of the Aveshas depending on what they're empowered with. Then you're going to have the Prabhava, than being a little bit less power, but then some of them come and just do a shorter pastime, you know, here, and some of them do a longer or have more influence. Then you have the Vaibhava, so then they have more power again, but then within those six had even more again. They're almost like the Paralasta.
Because Vaibhava forms, they manifest more power. They're always generally seen as the Lord.
Okay.
But the Prabhava form sometimes may be considered as devotee also, like Shesha and others.
Oh, okay.
Though they are Vishnu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So there is this kind of, like, most of the Prabhava forms generally they are seen more like a devotee than.
Oh, okay.
The manifest lesser power.
Yeah, like Vyasadeva will be seen like a.
Also, that like a, story, that pastime when Parashuram meets Lord Ramachandra, then when he invokes the weapon, it goes to Lord Ramachandra because he is
superior. Yeah, then he understands. Yeah, very nice, pleasant way to get your point across. These avatars are of three types according to their activities, right? So now you've mentioned about
according to power.
This is according to power, these four. And the other is Swayam, Tade, Katma, and Avesha is kind of more according to their expansion and moods. Like that. And then here is going to be another aspect, then activities. So Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, and Lila avatars. The Purusha and Guna avatars are explained in Paramatma Sandarbha. The Lila avatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 136 and the verses following. There are five types of avatar. Those who remain for the lifetime of Brahma, Purusha avatars. Those who remain for a day of Brahma, Guna avatars. That's interesting. Those who remain for a Manvantara avatars, like Yajna. Those who appear in the Yugas, Shukla, the Yuga avatars. Those who appear personally when they please, Krishna, Rama, and others.
Lila.
And, okay, yeah, it should be mentioned there, Lila. Okay. There are 14 Manvantara avatars. Yajna, Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana, Sarvabhauma, Rishabha, Vishvakshena, Dharma Setu, Sudhama, Yogeshwara, and Brihadbhanu. Now this Rishabha, is that the same as that also Rishabdev, he was one of those? Or that means it's a different Rishabha?
Maybe a different one. She's coming in the 9th
Manvantara. Oh, okay. And Rishabha's coming different than that. Okay.
Or maybe the same.
It's colder over here. Forgot to bring my chatter. That's the advantage of that side, is you just get the dry air, you don't get the wind. What's it on? What's the
25?
Oh, we got it on 2. Maybe put it on to 1. When you start it, you want to start it like that, but then turn it down to 1.
So when we say Rishabdev as the incarnation of Lord, then it may be referring to the Manvantara avatar. But otherwise, then he is Shakta Vesh when he comes otherwise.
Rishabdev. Oh, okay.
Because the Manvantara avatar is generally the Vishnu.
Vishnu, because he's protecting Indra.
Okay. So in the 9th Manvantara, then he is Vishnu form. All other times, then he is Shakta Vesh.
Means?
When he comes as a Manvantara avatar in the 9th Manvantara, then right. He will be the Vishnu category.
Okay.
Other times when he appears, then he will be Shakta Vesh avatar. Because he appears otherwise also to during the time of Treta Yuga or Satyayuga, he appears. That time then he is a Shakta Vesh avatar who comes to spread the jnana.
Okay. So as Rishabdev, he would be that form of avatar. Okay. Oh, here it says Rishabha is the son of Ayushmat. Who's Ayushmat? That's not, that's in the line of the kings. That means that Rishabha?
I think this Rishabha is the son of Ayushmat Maharaj.
Yes, means that the Manvantara avatar.
Mm-hmm. The Leela avatar Rishabha is son of Nabi.
Okay, yes, okay.
So they may be different.
Oh, here it says right here. It's the next sentence. Rishabha is the son of Ayushmat. The Leela avatar Rishabha is the son of Nabi. Among them, Yajna is generally an Avesha form, since it is described that he held the feet of Prithu. Hari, Vaikuntha, and Vamana are Vaibhava forms, almost equal to Paravasta forms, since they are described as having great powers. The other Manvantara avatars are generally Prabhava forms, since they are not described elaborately. So then it appears that according to the potency also, then more is given. Like you see, Nrisingadev is described in the Bhagavatam in two different cantos. And then Ram's whole Leela is described in a concise form, but the whole Leela is given. And others, it'll just be the particular pastime they appear. Like Mohini just appears for that pastime, and that's it. That's there, and then Lord Shiva wants to see, and then, you know, Krishna, okay.
Yajna and Hari are different, Maharaj. Yajna and Hari are different forms. Sometimes we consider them one. Yajna appears in the first Manamantara, then Hari appears in the fourth Manamantara.
Oh, okay.
So Hari is the one who has more power. Yajna is most of the times in
Oh, okay, yeah, here. But it said also, in one of the places, it says Yajna is also known as Hari. So I guess it just depends upon what you're talking about. So you just understand. So here we see, as we're talking within the types of the Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, and Leela avatars, Manvantara avatars, the different types, and then the Yavesh, so six kinds. But then now they're being compared in power. So yeah. The Yuga avatars are called Shukta, Rakta, Shyama, and Krishna. The Purusha avatars and Guna avatars appear before the beginning of Brahma's first day. The Kumaras, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Yajna, Nara, Narayan, Kapila, Datta, Ahayagriva, Hamsa, Prishnigarbha, Rishabha, and Prithu appear during Swayambhuva Manvantara avatar. Manvantara. Varaha and Matsya appear again in Chakshusha Manvantara. Nrisingha, Kurma, Danvantari, and Mohini appear in Chakshusha Manvantara. Kurma also appears in Swayambhuva Manvantara. Danvantari also appears in Vaivasvata Manvantara. Vamana, Parasaram, Ram, Vyas, Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki appear in Vaivasvata Manvantara. Manvantara avatars and Yuga avatars appear throughout the Kalpa. Description of Vibhutis is indicated next. If the empowered Jivas manifest. Okay, so he goes through and explains all that. That's all Jiva Goswami, no?
Yeah, Sarvasambhadini explains.
Oh, Sarvasambhadini, yes. Anucheda 27. The vibhutis of the Lord are described. Rishayo manavo deva manu putra mahaujasa kala sarve harer eva saparaja patayas smrita. All sages, Manus, Devatas, powerful humans, sons of Manu, along with Brahma's sons, are also considered to be Vibhutis of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.27. So what we had was the Avesha Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Paravasta. So in the Avesha, then Avesha or Shakti Avesha, then they have a specific power. And then if somebody is vibhutis, that means they're a very specific quality in a very specific instance and they're manifesting. So, I'll say, okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.27. Kala refers to vibhutis. If they manifest very little of the Lord's shaktis, they are called vibhutis. If they manifest great shakti, they are called avesha forms. So if someone's a Shakti Avesh, they're manifesting a great amount of, and if it's very little, means And here, when we're talking about the unlimited, so very little is quite grand. You know? But just Avesha will be even more. Like the sun and the moon, you know, manifesting like the eyes of the Lord or like that. That will be then from the Lord. You know, that will be vibhutis of the Lord. Like that. Adhyaya summary. This adhyaya comprehensively elucidated on the various avatars, pastime manifestations of the Supreme Lord in the material world of Bhagavan, for the purpose of establishing the non-difference of the avatars and the avatari. Because it's very important that the avatars and the avatari are non-different at the same time, as we'll see in other places, where the mood is the, since he's only manifesting a particular aspect or a particular mood, then there's going to be there's going to be a difference, you know. But the thing is one has to appreciate the non-difference, because it's just Krishna, as we saw with Krishna and Vaikuntha. Then with Gopa Kumar, with the Vaikuntha Vasis, he's Vaikunthapati. But with Gopa Kumar, he was Braja Krishna. Like that. You know, it's because he's not manifesting that much, but it's the same person. Because that's the meaning of the Lord is one. You know, that's a very important aspect, this, you know, the Echadvad, you know, that the Lord is one. And so therefore then there's only one. The Jivas, they're not the Lord, so there's a difference there. You know, energy of the Lord. So energy is non-different, but at the same time, it's just a difference. But it's very important to know that all of them are the Lord, and the Lord can manifest however he likes. It's the same Lord, because it's all him. Yeah. For the purpose of establishing the non-difference of the avatars and the avatari. First, the discussion between the sages, headed by Shonaka and Suta Goswami, as detailed in the third chapter, first canto of Bhagavatam, is quoted in order to elaborate on the different forms of manifestations of Bhagavan, such as the Purusha avatars, Lila avatars, and his vibhutis. A general description of Bhagavan and Paramatma is given, in order to substantiate that the Paramatma is an umsa of Bhagavan and thus is not different from him. So an umsa means not different. You know, if someone makes too much of a difference, that means your hand is an umsa, so you don't need your hand. So if we remove your hand, you wouldn't mind because it's different from you. Right? But you would mind, so that's because it's not different, right? Next, the Purusha avatars are described with details concerning their form, actions, and location, wherein the non-difference of their supas and Bhagavan and their superintendence over the Purusha forms is emphasized. Finally, the various Lila avatars and vibhutis of Bhagavan are listed. Enlisted. I would say just listed.
Yes.
As stated in enlist means that you pull in, you know, like you like that. Like you're enlisted in the army. Like that. As stated in Bhagavatam, and the distinction among various types of expansions of the Lord is explained. Thus this adhyayana enunciates about the sarup and the purpose of manifestations of various avatars of Bhagavan in order to establish their non-difference and dependence on him. They're non-different, but they're dependent. That's the thing. So the Swayam Rupa, He is independent. So as you expand, as soon as there's expansion, they're non-different, but they're dependent. Don't eat them. Vriti. Does that make sense? So that's why Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He's the only fully independent Lord. So all the other expansions are independent of the energies and the jivas and any circumstance, because that's all expanding from them. But they're still dependent on Krishna because they're Krishna expanding as, you know, as forms of himself, amshas of himself, to perform particular pastimes or activities for his pleasure. So to create the material world, Krishna expands as Mahavishnu. So he's not different. But still, it's Krishna's desire. So it all goes back to Krishna's Icha. And then they all perform Kriya according to that. So, yeah. Okay. Adhyaya 2. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. You didn't read the Bhagavad Gita? Oh, yes. Because it had the enumerated, and I thought we had done. Okay. Priti, having enumerated the various expansions of Bhagavan, such as the Purusha avatars, Lila avatars, and his vibhutis, the next adhyaya elucidates on the unique position of Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. Because we're trying to get it up to how everything is there, the position of the Lord, remove all the bogus ideas about the jiva, the material world, and the Lord and their relationship, establishing devotional process and everything like that, and establishing the ultimate goal as pure devotion. So then that is all then, you know, properly established in the first three sandarbhas. Right? So now then you're establishing of the Supreme Lord. Then there's the various manifestations, and then the topmost is of Bhagavan, is Krishna himself. So that's what I'm meaning of. He's Swayam Bhagavan. He's the complete form. Then him being manifest, then once you get to that point, then the Bhakti Sandarbha and the Priti Sandarbha will have their full value. Because otherwise, then there's so many other things that may come up. Because the secondary means when there's still the, you know, how you say, when the faith is not so fixed that we still have we still have faith that material facilities and arrangements are an important part of bhakti, right? You know, and bhakti is dependent upon them. Then so many other elements will come up. But if you wanted, so that's why then the first sandarbhas are so elaborate in their details. But once you've established Krishna as the supreme, and that he is the one where, you know, where the maximum aspect of worship and everything is appreciated, then in discussing, then you can just discuss on the platform of pure devotion service. You don't have to discuss the aspects of karma and jnana. You know, how karma yoga, jnana yoga are connected into devotional service. That's already been discussed. Because as long as there's the idea of karma yoga, jnana yoga, like with jnana yoga, then there'll be the aspect of the Brahman, karma yoga, the aspect of Paramatma. So these things are there, and these are stages of realization the devotee naturally goes through. But we're trying to come to the point of appreciating that worship of Krishna in his original sarup. That's actually the highest form. And of that, then braja. You know, does that make sense? So it just keeps on going like that. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Also, unless Krishna's unique position is thoroughly established, then when we move into rasa, on expressing rasa, it won't flow properly. Otherwise, like when he is in the material world, we impose our material restrictions on him. Maybe then he is the expansion of Purusha Avatar or from Lord Narayana. That will all hinder the rasa to be expressed later.
Yeah, well, it's just like last night we were discussing. Even when you're dealing with Govardhan, then these things come up. Well, he's just servant, so he's not Krishna, and this and that. And the whole thing is that it may be his mood. He sees himself as servant. And serving Radha Krishna in his pastimes with Radharani. But the point is it is Krishna. Otherwise, if it's not, why is the acharyas wanting to be close to him? You know. So sometimes then, like you're saying here, we can make distinctions such that the rasa is lost, you know. Or we'll take it that Oh yes, then there's that rasa and all, because we've taken that hierarchy up, so then only the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Mahabhava, then these are the highest. So then when Prabhupada's talking about everything is Krishna, then, you know, that's not a very advanced position, even though it might be light years ahead of where we are. But in any case, it's like that. But the point is that the Brajvasis see like that, because that's the situation. In other words, there's three things. There's the situation that you're in, there's the activities that can be done in that situation, and then there is the pleasing of Krishna. Right? So now, if everything is Krishna, then everything can be easily understood to be used for Krishna. And therefore, then Krishna can be pleased. So then, in seeing that, because they see their Ishtadev is Braja Krishna, therefore all things they see in the context of Braja Krishna, therefore all the activities to be done with those situations are in context of Braja Krishna. And then the pleasure then is what would please Braja Krishna. So we'll take it that, oh, that's lower stage stuff. But the point is they're already seeing like that. That's why it said is, okay, God, you know, the mountain is his backbone, and like this, you're trying to create a form that you get used to the personal kind of aspect from the impersonal. And they say that's for, you know, beginning stages. You know, especially if someone's attached to Mayavad philosophy or impersonal, then this is a bridge that they can get across to the personal. But the point is they're just saying, okay, that's God. You know? And so and God's a person, you can see these things. But the mountains being the backbone of Krishna, then they just see Braja Krishna and they think of him. So it all can be something to connect them to remembering Krishna. And then depending upon their position and name, form, qualities, and pastimes, then it will take them that position. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also, Maharaj, that like here the expansions are explained, and then it is confirmed that the Lord, all the expansions are dependent on Him, and they are non-different. Only when that principle is understood, then whatever later on the Pancharatrik process, what we follow, or the Bhagavad process, everything has a very deep meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That how it is actually an offering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it can be just kind of sentiment. Sometimes you feel it, yeah, you do it. Sometimes you don't feel it when you are in a different materialistic mode. Then you think, oh, whether I am actually serving Krishna or not, and those kind of all the other problems arises. It goes by the whim.
Right? Yes, it goes by the whim. Yeah, because they'll have these fine elements, because see, we're Braja Krishna means it's spontaneous love. But the point is Krishna has come, Lord Chaitanya has come to give us an opportunity to take part in that position, to attain that position of spontaneous love in Braj. But we're not naturally on that position. It may be inherent in the nature of the jiva, in their pure, in their natural state, but in the covered state, then you don't see it manifesting. So therefore, then we see, then in the expansion of the Chaturvyuha, then Krishna comes as Vasudeva and Balaram comes as Sankarsana. And then Prajumna and Nirudha expand from Sankarsana. So then you're able to render that service to Krishna through, you know, the manifestation as Vasudeva. Because Vasudeva, he's sitting there in the heart, he does all these different things, he's the Lord of everything. So we're always with him, right? And so then he's available. So then sometimes it's taken as, oh, we're just worshiping Radha Krishna. No, it's a mood of Lakshmi Narayan. But then it's thinking, oh, it's mood of Lakshmi Narayan, so therefore we have to worship in this particular opulent way, and we don't do anything that's connected with Braj. No, it's that we're seeing him. The only thing is, we're only worshiping because he's God. It's not that he's the most wonderful person, that's why we're worshiping. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that. And so, therefore, because he's God, we're worshiping. Then he reciprocates as Lakshmi Narayan. But that doesn't mean that our elements that are there as Braja Bhakti that are given by the Acharyas, we may not have it, but they're considerations of, let's say, like not using in the offering of the 16 items, we don't use mudras to indicate them. We only use mudras in the preliminaries, in purifying and things like that, installing things we use. But in the actual 16 items of worship, we don't use. Right? Other than, I think, grass, you ask, you know, you can prayers or grass mudra, and you say, you know, please come and take, accept the prasad. But otherwise, all the different things, like you offering the lamp, you know, this means this, you know, the ones of fire and all these things, we don't show all those and chant those mantras and all that. So, that aspect we don't do, because that's for Vaikuntha worship. It's not for Vrindavan worship. So we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, and it means Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan, with the idea of coming to the platform worshipping Krishna and Radharani as Radha and Krishna. Right?
Yes.
So that would be one side, is we'll get stuck there in the Niyamaka. The other side is they'll take it, oh, we're worshipping as Lakshmi Narayan, therefore we're worshipping Lakshmi, so it's all right if we do a Lakshmi Yajna and invite devotees because they can make money. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know? So that means there's all kinds of things that they make mistakes, so you have to be able to bring it, though, that Krishna is this way, we're trying to get to there, and all, everything else less than that understanding is not a full understanding. If it's in pursuit of coming to this point, then it's good. And to that degree it supports that, it has that value. Right? So in other words, value is attributed to the various religious activities according to how much they support coming to that position. Right? Coming to that position, and then we see is that, you know, which ones are used already being at that position. Does that make sense? You know, like there's how you fan a chamra. There's a method, right? So having come to the platform of prema, they're still using that method when they use the chamra. It doesn't change, right? It's not that we're using all these, you know, circle things, but when they get to Mahabhava, it actually goes in squares and all. It looks quite kind of like the, you know, like what do you call it, the, you know, the Mario. You know, the video game where everything goes in squares, you know, like that. Yes.
In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam. And we read through, and, you know, we don't pay much attention.
Mm.
But if we look carefully, then everybody else, they actually think that Bhagavan is manifest as Krishna. But we say, no, Krishna is Bhagavan, mm-hmm. and that sequence is very important.
Yes,
this
yes.
This is what you just explained.
Yes.
Because everybody else, they say, yeah, there's Bhagavan, and then he manifests as Krishna. That's mm-hmm. that's
one okay. of the forms of Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bhagavatam says, no, it's Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, and then mm-hmm. Jiva Goswami actually establishes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
This whole Anuchedas are from 28 to 81 is just on that one point established.
This point here. Yeah, because it's interesting is that if we look at that, come up is that you have Krishna, first expansion is Balaram, Balaram's first expansion then will be Mahanarayan. And so that Mahanarayan, that will be the position of the, you know, Icha Kriya Jnana. He'll take care of everything to do with that. Now, that position, we will say, you know, Mahanarayan and like this, you know, like that. But in for us, he's that third, you know, position, the second expansion. And then all other things are going to come from there. The Vaikunthas are going to come from there, and the Purusha avatars. So the mood of Balaram, that's going to go through the Vaikuntha, but then you're going to have this other aspect that somehow or another we've never been able to find the name again. That there's some mood that's there in Balaram, but it's only manifest in Mahavishnu. It starts there. That mood of the Purusha avatars to deal with the material world, because he being that the complete personality of Godhead, then he has all these elements to him, but because the aspect is of the Kriya, then it's going to have that accomplishment of the material manifestation. So the accomplishment of the spiritual, the accomplishment of the material. But that aspect of the accomplishment of the material has a particular flavor. I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So that's there in Balaram, though it's not manifest until Mahavishnu. So that's this point where everything comes back together, then you see that's accepted, by others. But you can see it's very nicely explained, I think, by Ramanujacharya. I think Madhvacharya will talk about it, but Ramanujacharya specifically, that this Mahanarayan, he's the source of all other Narayan expansions. So you're in Vaikuntha serving your particular, form of Vishnu that you're worshipping, but ultimately there'll be that expansion, how it all goes back to Sankarshan, goes back to Vasudev, and like this. And so then, for them, then like you said, then from him, that Mahanarayan, one of the forms is Krishna, because you do have, through coming down through the Purusha avatars, the Aniruddha, then the Lila avatars, you have Krishna. But so they will be worshipping that Krishna and those pastimes. And then basically is, as said, the other sampradayas, even those who are worshipping Radha and Krishna, they're also worshipping that form, though it will have more the element of sweetness. It'll be a Goloka form rather than a Vaikuntha form. So,
yeah.
So then it will have that aspect. But because you're basically the same pastimes, then when you're talking about, Bhagavatam's talking about Swayam Krishna, then those from the Nimbarkas, the Vallabhas, the Shris, the Madhvas, they'll be quite happy in that, because they will perceive that same Krishna according to their level of realization. And so in that way it's there. So then this establishes, no, he's beyond all this. So he says, when he also mentions that everything of value, has been there, that's real, but then he's beyond this. It also means this whole manifestation of everything. He's still beyond that, as Braja Krishna. Yeah.
So can we say, Maharaj, that except for what is explained in the Bhagavatam, it's all in the category of Tadekatma Rupa.
Basically. Yeah.
So Swayam Rupa is explained in the Bhagavatam. And then, of course, when he goes to Mathura and Dwaraka, then we're dealing with Tadekatma Rupa.
Yeah, but it also depends upon who you are.
Yeah.
Because the same Krishna in Dwarka is Tadekatma Rupa for the Dwarkavasis, but he's Swayam Rupa for the Brajavasis.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the thing, because it is the same person. Just like for Gopa Kumar, he's also Vaikuntapati, he's also Braja Krishna. It's just that he's taken this majestic form to, for these pastimes, but that's why he goes there and plays the flute for him and deals in a relaxed manner with him, not formal. And so in that environment, he can't manifest as something else, because it won't, the only word that comes to mind is jive. It won't jive with everybody else who's there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll conflict. So therefore then, it's when Gopa Kumar, then after the whole, the formal ceremony, goes out and sits in the garden, like that, and then the Vaikuntavasis come out and have a little discussion with them on how, what's the proper behavior, and all that, and after they leave, then Vishnu comes and, okay, yeah, But the point is he's making I only manifest that there. So that's the meaning of Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, is he can't manifest that form. So even though he's not manifesting his sweet threefold bending form at Kurukshetra, it's still that person who does do that in Vrindavan. So when you say Krishna never leaves Braja, means how he manifests himself in those moods and pastimes, that's only there. But when he goes out, he's still the same person. You know, it's just like, let's say at home, then the man, you know, does all kinds of crazy things with family and friends and all that. But when he goes to the office, you'll never see any of that. But he's still the same person. But the people at the office, they know a completely, in their mind, a completely different person. Very sober, you know, good work ethic and this like that. And, you know, sometimes when they're thinking of an office party, you know, depending on what it is, they're not quite so sure about him because he's always just, you know, doing his job. He never, like messes around with everybody and goofs and that. So then they're thinking, but they don't know. But then, you know, those from home know that when, you know, he's in that mood, he's... So,
Yeah.
So that becomes the difficulty, so we make too much distinction. So in other words, Brajavasis are attracted to Krishna in his original form. So any other form he's in is still of Krishna. Like the gopis are telling him, well, you know, you don't know how to behave with girls. And it's kind of like, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, look at how you dealt with Suparnika. So that means for them, Ramachandra is Krishna. They're not saying that he's different. The mood is there, the pastimes, the form and all that, but it's still him. It's not that it's someone else. So we'll tend to make too much difference. And then if we make too much difference, then it again becomes actually impersonal. You know?
Yeah.
Because we're not seeing the person is there. You know?
This is the difficulty with those who don't have the character to read through the Bhagavatam from the beginning till the end. Because
right.
Like now, we discuss the aspect of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And if say, for example, I just attend this class and I don't continue the study, then my conclusion, it's one. And
yeah.
Then that's it. I don't, because there will be a balance of there's a difference. But we have to hear it. And if we don't, then we can balance those two. So we hear difference, then we say, it's
different.
It's different.
Yeah.
Or if it's one,
it's one.
Then it's one. But also we see in others there's oneness and there's difference. But sometimes it's not an exact balance. You know, Vishishta Dvait and
Vishuddha
Dvait and Dvaitadvait, even still it leans towards one or the other.
Yeah.
But then the Bhagavatam balances it all, where you have to go through the whole thing and under the guidance. Otherwise what do we see? We just read through and think, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. I mean, we heard it like millions times.
Yeah.
But it didn't make any difference to us.
Different, yeah. And also when you think, you think of the essential verse? You know, the whole thing is based on that?
Parivasa Sutra.
Yeah, Parivasa Sutra. There's a good chance if we hadn't heard from the Acharyas and we asked what's the Parivasa Sutra, it would not have been that.
Yeah.
Because, that's just some philosophy. It'll be something, we'll pick something from, you know, how you say, Brahmar Gita or, you know, something like that. And that'll be but no, it's about Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. That's the, because when that is there, then that's the point, is everything is seen in context of him. And so how does Braja Krishna like things? And we would do things in those ways. You know, otherwise you get, like you say, you get off too much. It's all, you know, Krishna, it's all different from Krishna. You know, there's the too much difference. The material world is this, the spiritual world is that. So these things don't apply. It's Kali Yuga, you know, but they're not thinking, but it's Krishna's Kali Yuga. It's not our Kali Yuga, you know. You know, it's just like, let's say, people go down to the bar or the disco and go nuts, but it's not their bar or disco. They don't run it. They don't say what's there or what's on tap. You know, what music is played. You know, it's seen they like these things that's played, but still they're not in control of it. You know? So, you know, so that's the thing, is that what we'll have a tendency is that from that Vyasti point of view, that we'll see it too much difference, you know, that it's completely different, because I see that everything is different, because the jiva naturally sees the difference. Krishna sees the sameness, because it's not different from him. But then if we do look at the sameness, we're going to look at it from impersonal. So that's the problem. We'll look at the difference from karma and the sameness from jnana, you know, and then in this way make the mistake. But it's only from the devotional platform, then it can be understood in its proper bounds. So the Vedas always talked about, so even all the Vedas are explaining this, but depending upon who they're writing for, then, you know, you'll see that prominence in a different way, like the Upanishads. Then it's very easy to catch the oneness, but you can make a mistake on the difference, though it's described there, like you were saying, selective hearing. Or the Mahabharata, then, on religion and not on pure devotion, even though it's mentioned, but people will just take the religious aspect.
Yeah. I was also thinking of a good example, because Lord Jagannath is a lord of the universe. Mm. So whoever comes, and he even has those veshas, you know, that he dressed like Ganapati, he dressed like, you know, like Surya, with all the gold, and, you know. But then Mahaprabhu sees him as Tribhanga Shyama Sundar. Yeah. He sees Braja Krishna.
Yeah.
He doesn't see any difference, but that's others, they see whatever they see, whatever they're looking for, basically. Yeah. And Jagannath manifests that form, okay.
Yeah.
Take it, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same. So it's always going to be, it's just like, let's say, you have the family members, no matter if one member of the family even is, you know, very successful and comes to a very high level in appreciation in the material world, that they're still going to see him as that family member. You know, just, you know, they're very successful, but it's kind of like you're waiting for the formalities to be over so you can sit there and laugh and joke with them. You know? Is that, you know, because otherwise, let's say, you know, the brother, you know, becomes, you know, very big and very, you know, well respected, and there's some program, he invites the family and they all come there, but afterwards, after when they're kind of on the side, and let's say they're not in the formalities, but they're sitting in some kind of, you know, side room like that, waiting for some other things to happen or some people to meet. And then the family comes in, and, you know, the other brothers or sisters, you know, go up and they want to, you know, wrestle and this and that. And if he's kind of like, oh, what are you doing? I don't do that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, who's this guy? You know, why are we even here? You know, it's not our brother. You know, you expect to come to that movie. You appreciate it. But if it's that, then yeah, that's a completely different person. So we make too much of the distinction. That's why that thing comes up on that. Otherwise, why is there the problem between the statement of Radharani of Govardhan as the best servant, and the same time as Lord Chaitanya as Radharani saying it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There's no contradiction, but we make it into a contradiction from not understanding this point of Swayam Bhagavan, he is everything. And so therefore, in this way, he takes that move, because in Vaikuntha, then he's just the Lord accepting service. You don't really see him. You see the aspect of he's very merciful and very kind. So you have that aspect of the sweetness, like that Madhurastaka is a Vaikuntha prayer.
Yeah.
And so, but it's, you know, just everything's so wonderful and sweet from that, because he's the supreme, but he's so caring and kind for the devotees. You know. But then at the same time but you don't see him specifically rendering service. You see him protecting the devotee. Gajendra, he goes and protects him. You know, and after protecting, he receives that prayers from Gajendra.
you know, or you know, he fights with a giant Vijay, but then you know they liberate, they come back to their position. You know, he protects them from the curse of the Brahmanas and things like that. But then you're going to have what is it? Yeah, Boston is so subtle. You know, you're trying to establish the one point so you can move to the next so it has more effect, but then it evaporates.
Something.
Yeah, it just is lost. Yes, that service, but you see in Vrindavan, Krishna's rendering service to the devotees and it pleases him. So that's the thing, is Krishna, as Govardhan Hill, is creating an environment in which Radharani can then serve Krishna, and that way then he's able to serve Radharani. You know, I say that's the whole point, is the boyfriend serves the girlfriend. You know, the girlfriend serving the boyfriend, but the boyfriend serves the girlfriend to create the environment, which means this was like, let's say like the wife, she's doing all these things within the house, you know, of service to the husband and the family. But where did the house and all those facilities come from? The husband. And he's happy to render that service, to go out, work hard, do everything, pay all the bills, get all the things. You know, even so much of the time, at least in India, it's very common that the general shopping and all that's done by the husband. Because, you know, you don't have these nice supermarkets. You know, you got to go out there in the street, people are out there, you got to haggle over everything, fight over everything, places are dirty. So the husband buys all this stuff.
Till the son becomes 8-year-old.
And he starts to buy it.
He's supposed to buy it.
No, exactly. Okay, he's supposed to buy it. Yeah. And so like that. So you know, there's that aspect of service. And so then that Krishna, who is the lover of Radharani, comes as a servant to assist, because the Govardhan, it's serving all the Brajvasis, so in that way he's serving everyone, but especially in this context, he's serving Radharani. Because then, of all the places in the universe, you know, then you're going to have, you know, the Bharatvarsha is going to be the best, right? Of that, then it's going to be the Bharata, you know, how you say, Kanda, you know, like that. Of that, it's going to be this particular area. It means the Aryabharata. And of that, then it's going to be Mathura Mandala, right? Of that, it's going to be Vrindavan. Of that, Govardhan. Of that, Radhakund. You know, so it's the whole thing is coming down to that point.
It's a ninth verse of Upadeshamrita.
Yeah. Yes.
Right there.
Yeah. And so you're bringing in all the elements that, what's the problem? It's him who's doing this nice thing. Yeah, but at the same time, it's him. So, in other words, he's the best servant. So she's appreciating that he's doing these things. But at the same time, as who's doing that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's the whole thing. The two don't have a problem. Like Nanda Baba can talk about that. You see, at the later chapters in the Krishna book, then they talk about him as the Supreme Lord, but it doesn't affect their relationship. Well, you see, in the earlier chapters, it's kind of like, huh, what's going on here? But by the time they're at you know, Kurukshetra, and Vasudeva's talking about this, and everybody's talking about this, and you know, they've heard Narad Muni and everybody else talk about this. Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't affect their love for me. Their Braja Krishna does all these things, but it's still, he's the Braja Krishna for them. Right? It's not that, no, he's Dwarka, and then this is a side thing. Like you were saying, it doesn't switch for them. But other than the Brajabhasis, it switches. You know?
I think in it, 26th chapter, you know, when it's described the wonderful Krishna, they came to a point when the issue became like very serious. They had to identify who Krishna is, you know, after the Govardhan Lila.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, he dealt with demons and this and that, but that was like, it wasn't that long, you know, killing this demon, that demon, okay, and, you know, swallowing the forest fire. And it's a bit mystical, but not too much. But then 7 days, and then after that, they have to discuss it. And then they, basically the whole chapter, what it does, it just from the beginning, they just describe Krishna Lila up to that point. And then Nanda Baba says, yeah, maybe he's there, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It doesn't matter.
Or, yeah, you know.
You know, yeah, it's just like the son becomes the prime minister, but you know, during the, let's say, you know, the holidays when he can, you know, go home or something like that, or be with his family and all that, his mother's still going to feed him the same food, sit him down, complain that he's, you know, looking too tired, he's, you know, he's getting skinny, you know, he's got to take care of his health and this and that, and you know that kind of, he's going to hear the same things that he's always heard. It doesn't matter. You know, his brother is still going to wrestle him and show, prove that he's better. You know, that he can still beat him. You may be the prime minister, but I can still beat you in a wrestling match. You know, it doesn't matter. It's going to change, you know. And, you know, for the sister, it's still going to be that, you know, we got to go out and do some shopping stuff for this and that. So he's going to come and he's going to carry the bags. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I got people to do that. No, I don't want them to touch my bags. You got to carry them, you know. So it's not going to change. So that's the thing, is that for that it doesn't matter. But if it is, it still doesn't change the relationship. Right? But for those who it does change the relationship, then they're the ones that, you know, everything is expanding from Mahanarayan.
Just wanted to clarify on the point, Vaikuntha Pati and Krishna, can we say that the Narayan is a perfect example of the verse Yeyadamam Prapadyante Tamstataiva Vajamyaham. And then Krishna in Vrindavan, he takes initiative. He doesn't have to reciprocate. He just he's just unfolding his lila.
I mean, you can, but he's still taking initiative depending upon how that devotee is surrendering. Because Mother Yashoda has the rati of parental. Therefore, he may take the initiative in things that will create the udipan for parental rasa. But it's still, he'll only do parental stuff. It's still the same thing. But it just means it won't have the formality of his being superior, so therefore then, once you've done something, then he'll, you know, deal with like that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. So it's not like a... So it still, that doesn't change. That's why even there is that Advaitacharya said the only one that can preach now is Lord Chaitanya, because he takes the mood of his devotee. So the devotee can take the initiative even though you've done nothing.
Right.
Right? But it's not that it's unnatural. Right? Because the nature of the soul is to serve Krishna. The nature is as part and parcel of Krishna, is to render service to the whole. That's going to be there. But they're not necessarily taking any interest in that position. So the devotees will come and kind of, you know, shake them out of that illusion. So then Lord Chaitanya is the only one that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, because Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why can't he could do it? But his point is no one's interested. So how do you reciprocate with people who are not interested? You know, so this thing of, you know, we don't want to be bold and all that. No, that's what devotees do. You know? And if it's like, you know, oh, but they're doing yoga, we'll just reciprocate on yoga. Krishna's already doing that. He is yoga. You know? So Krishna's doing that. So then what are we doing? You know, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, oh, now we're going to be the Suri Dham Sarva, but no, you know. You know, because does that make sense?
Yeah.
So these fine points, and that you can see is that they come up as if they're not understood, we can easily become distracted. But The point is if we follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas, even though we don't understand all these details, but we're sticking to that and have that faith, then gradually, step by step, then all these things become clear. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Adhyaya Prakashika. Did we...
We had to start.
We didn't start. Okay. Having delineated the various avatars of Bhagavan in the previous Adhyaya, the unique position of Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan is highlighted in the current Adhyaya. Can you also say it Adhyayana? But we're using Adhyaya, but is it also, there's a Sanskrit form of Adhyayana?
Yes.
Because I think in deity worship you have Swadhyaya and Swadhyayana. Okay, there must be some slight difference in the application. In conclusion to the verses describing all the avatars of the Lord, Srila Sutta Goswami speaks the following about Lord Krishna. All avatars mentioned and not mentioned here, who are portions of the Purusha or are empowered jivas, create happiness in the world whenever it is afflicted by the demons and their ideas. So that's interesting. It's not just that they're demons, but it's their ideas that are... But Krishna is the ultimate form of Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. The author declares that this verse, stating Krishna as the Amsi, is the principal statement, Paribhasha Sutra, of Bhagavatam, and all other statements of Bhagavatam must be observed in the light of this statement. So even then the Chaturshloki has to be seen in the context of this sutra. Because otherwise he says he's beyond. Who's beyond? This. Thus, all the Vedas indicate Parabrahman in the form of Sri Krishna by refuting any contrary statements. Well, the Vedas indicate bhakti as the action and indicate me as the meaning. I am the meaning of all the Vedas. I, as karma and jnana, am proposed and rejected as alternatives. By negating all these, the conclusion is reached that I, Krishna, am the final truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.43. Bhakti is the action and Krishna is the meaning. So then what's the value? Where are the bhakti's directed? And so forth. Proposed and rejected as alternatives, karma and jnana, as opposed to bhakti. Very nice. Having stated Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, the primeval Lord who exhibits the complete features of Godhead. Primeval Lord who exhibits the complete features of Godhead. Yeah, because otherwise you just think it's another, but this is, then it shows Swayam Bhagavan who exhibits the complete, because others don't exhibit. They may be Paravasta, but they don't exhibit.
Also, it's called Samambhuna. That definition is given for Samambhuna.
Samambhuna, okay. Who exhibits the complete features of Godhead?
Samambhuna.
Yeah, because that's one of the 10 topics of Bhagavatam. So, Samambhuna. The author enforces this statement by citing various texts from Bhagavatam that establish Krishna's position, or Krishna's position, as the source of the Lila, Guna, and Purusha avatars. This helps us to perceive contrary statements presented in various scriptures in the light of the Paribhasa Sutra, Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. So the perceived so-called these contrary statements in the lights of that. So if that's seen, then there's no problem. So if Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam is taken as the main thing, then everything else then is taken from that position. So then the Chaturshloki, then all the points there, he's the source of everything, means Krishna Swayam Bhagavan is. You know, that he is the value of everything, so he's expanded as everything's value, but it's still him. That he's beyond means he's beyond, you know, even Mahavishnu and everybody. He's the one who has the beginning of all this. And through all times, places, and circumstances, it's him you should understand. Right? So it comes... Yeah, then that's very interesting. Yeah, because then the contrary statements can be resolved by this, the Paribhasha Sutra. Next, the supremacy of Lord Krishna Swayam Bhagavan is further affirmed through the words of the greatly enlightened speakers and hearers of Bhagavatam,
who extol the glories of Krishna's unique position as the greatest and most complete form of the Absolute, and attachment to him as the topmost meditation. After this, the author elaborates on the six qualities of the scripture, Shruti, Linga, Vakya, Prakarana, Sthana, and Shankhya, which elucidate the meaning of scriptural statements and substantiates how these six principles establish Lord Krishna's supremacy over all other avatars in various sections of Bhagavatam, and thus removes any dilemma caused by contrary statements in the scriptures. So then again, if you take the Paribhasha Sutra, and then you go through these six qualities of scripture, and with that applied, then you'll see that they all come back too.
Also, the six are used as hermeneutics.
Hermeneutics, yes.
First, Shruti is the independent statement.
Okay.
And if the statement itself is not independent, like it doesn't have that nature of being complete independent statement, then you go for Linga.
Mm.
Linga is, I think, some kind of comparison.
Mm.
Then if that doesn't work, then you go for next one. So each one has successively lesser power than the
first one.
First one.
Okay, so the Shruti means the direct meaning.
Direct meaning, and they are independent statements.
Independent, okay. Okay, so it's not, it doesn't have anything that is dependent on.
Yeah. So out of all independent statements, the Paribhasha Sutra stands
supreme. Okay.
And then any other statement anywhere stated, it has to be seen in line with this. So though they are hermeneutics, then...
Okay, so if you're using any of the lower, let's say you're using Shankhya, where you're analyzing things or things like that, it still has to be in line with that Paribhasha Sutra.
Shankhya is etymological.
Okay, it's etymological.
So yeah. Sometimes you go, oh, here this word... like
can mean this, and so it can be...
Like in the Vedanta Sutra we saw Akasha. Akasha can mean so many... But why we are referring to Brahman, and Brahman means why we are referring to Brahman is Krishna.
Yeah.
So the whole Vedanta Sutra, then why is it, how is it referring to Krishna? It's not referring to Akasha, space, this, that.
Yeah. Pretty nice. So this should be worked into our,
yeah.
You know, how you say it, with the logic and the mimamsa,
yeah.
That whole,
yes, yes.
Whole aspect.
Actually, this will open the whole dimension. Mm. And establish the standard.
Yeah, but yeah. Thus, the position of Lord Krishna Swayam Bhagavan is clearly enunciated in this Adhyayana. Overview of Adhikarnas. Adhikarna 1, Anuchedas 28 to 29. Description of Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Krishna. Adhikarna 2. Anuchedas 30 to 43, Lord Krishna established as the source of all avatars. Adhikarna 3, Anuchedas 44 to 73, Krishna's supremacy asserted by the speakers and hearers of Bhagavatam. Adhikarna 4, Anuchedas 74 to 81, Bhagavan stresses Krishna's supremacy Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam stresses Krishna's supremacy through the six qualities of scripture, Shruti, Linga, Vakya, Prakarana, Sthana, and Shankhya. So it's good, that's where you put those squiggly hands, yeah. Which act as proof. Okay, so then four Adhikarnas.
Yeah.
Adhikarna 1, description of Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, Anuchedas 28 to 29. Adhikarna Prakashika. The current Adhikarna describes Krishna as the summum bonum, the primeval Lord who exhibits the complete features of Godhead. In conclusion to the verses describing all the avatars of the Lord, the following verse is cited by Śrīla Śūta Gosvāmī to establish Krishna as the primeval Lord. Ete chamsa kala pumsa Krishnas tu bhagavan svayam Indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. All avatars mentioned and not mentioned here were portions of the Purusha or our empowered jivas create happiness in the world wherever it is afflicted by the demons and their ideas, so far out their ideas, right? But Krishna is the ultimate form of Bhagavan, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. Thus it is clear from the verse that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, the Amsi, has expanded himself in various parts, portions and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, Tadekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatar, Avesha, and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies, just suitable to their respective persons and personalities. One may raise the doubt. If Krishna is supreme, then why is he included in the list of avatars? In doubt. The author clarifies this doubt through the following explanation. Paurva pare purva darbalyam prakritivad. In a list of items, the previous ones are weaker than the latter ones, as in the case of prakriti sacrifices. Jaimini Mimamsa Sutra 6554. These six are different from the Tatparyalingas.
Yes, Mark.
Okay.
Yes.
So, with use of Tatparyalingas and these six, do these six have a name?
They are not named as such. It is not like.
Oh, okay. But otherwise, with those two, then you can know
yes.
properly how to approach scripture.
Yes.
Okay.
When I checked what are the name given, generally people give the name Harmanadi. Principles, these six.
Okay, hermeneutic principles. Okay.
Those six establish like...
Well, I guess that would be Mimamsa, because
yeah,
Mimamsa
yeah.
also means hermeneutics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Mimamsa has these two features, these the hermeneutic aspect, and also then how you understand what's the essential point. Okay. Nice. Okay, so that expands that aspect. Yeah, because a lot of times somebody will be arguing one and somebody another, but they're not necessarily gaining the main one, and they're not distinguishing between which one's a higher position, which one's a lower. Yeah. And generally, if we take, Murphy's Law, then the person on the using the lower one will always claim that theirs is the higher and more important.
Yeah. That's why, I guess... There's a need of nyaya first, then you have to establish on what level we discuss things. Because people think, yeah, we discuss this. No, you discuss this. It's actually anamaya level of discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not vijnana anamaya.
Yeah.
But that's what most everybody think. Because it's, in their mind, that's the top discussion. Why isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, these six are mostly used in the Vedanta Sutra to establish. But all other literature, generally the Tatparyalingas are used.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Tatparyalingas are straightforward, we don't deal with much issues.
But you're not necessarily looking so much at the hermeneutics, you're just looking what's the theme. But how you take how that theme is then understood in the context of the philosophy, that would be these six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's interesting because there's. Yeah, the hermeneutics are six, but the schools are also six. I wonder if they also emphasize different, ones of these, and that's why their school is kind of the way it is. Okay. The word avatar means forms of the Lord that descend into the material world. Even Balaram is accepted as Bhagavan because he helps Krishna. The word tu, but, distinguishes Bhagavan from the Amshas and Kalas and from the Purusha forms. This means that Mahanarayan and others are subordinate to Swayam Bhagavan. Being apprehensive that people may think, the statement Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, declaring Krishna's Amsi, which is the principal statement from Paribhasha Sutra of Bhagavatam, is figurative, the author next elucidates the importance of the Paribhasha Sutra within a philosophical work. It is said, Aniyame Niyama Karani Paribhasa. The Paribhasa is regulatory. You could A, because that means there could be more. I would say the regulatory statement, which produces a definition where otherwise there is none. Yeah, so it is the statement that does that. The Paribhasa, okay, the regulatory state, which produces a definition where otherwise there is none. Okay, so then the Paribhasa Sutra means something is being described, but it's not specifically giving a definition in a particular aspect. So then how to understand the definition? That's by seeing that verse in the context of the Paribhasha. So whatever verse is there, you take that in the context of the Paribhasha, then it has actual meaning. Because it's the regulatory statement. It regulates all other statements that they have to be meaning this. That's very...
Yeah. It balances the whole thing, basically.
Yeah, but it's so straightforward. It's so... the advantage of the descending process. But you have to give up the attachment to ascending to appreciate it. That's it.
Descending puts everything in place. The only difficulty is that you have to accept it.
You have to accept the place. Or you have to, yeah, and you have to accept your place in that. So that's the... yes. Therefore, the statement is not figurative, but rather it is skillful in creating harmonious meaning of all contrary statements.
Sorry, one sentence we miss. The Paribhasha is stated once.
And then I went to therefore?
Yeah.
Oh, this is getting even more far out. Generally, if I see two words next to each other, and they're in a particular order, but by reversing the order, they still will have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
The brain will do that.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever seen it where it takes sentences and reverses parts of them because they still have meaning. But if it doesn't have meaning, it won't reverse them. That's the fun part. You know? Wow. The Paribhasha is stated once in the text and is not repeated. Thus, millions of statements are regulated by this one statement. Therefore, the statement is not figurative, but rather is skillful in creating harmonious meaning of all contrary statements. Because it is a Paribhasha Sutra, one should not think that it is applicable only to this text. One should not think that it is some figurative statement, since the sutra indicates the highest entity, and it gives the essential meaning to the Bhagavata. I would still put, instead of a, put the, unless this is a...
this was in between the verse. Here we can go.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is somebody's translation.
This is the translation. This is this comes in the after in the 29th.
Okay.
Anuchaya.
Or, I mean, you can also just say, if you understand A, I guess it could be A, but it means what a Paribhasha Sutra is, then you know it is the sutra.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the first one that should be the, though, is
yes,
the regulatory, because it is a Paribhasha Sutra. Okay, and it gives the essential meaning. That's so nice. Any confusion, you just go back to that verse. Having demonstrated the importance of a Paribhasha Sutra, the author next differentiates between the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Amsi, and Lord Mahavishnu. He was an Amsa of him. First, based on the Paribhasha Sutra, the author offers, because from author, if you put the F up there, you get father, right? The author offers proper interpretation of the verses of Bhagavatam that apparently indicate Lord Vishnu as the source of Krishna. Then he addresses popular misinterpretations on Krishna's position described in other scriptures. Means they're popular. Means they're also, because the point is Bhagavatam being the essence, then that Paribhasa Sutra can apply to all Shastras, because having written all the Shastras, he gives the essence in the Mahabharata. That means there's one meaning to all of them. But he didn't bring out the directly spiritual. That's brought out in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam's exact one is this. So this is actually, you could say, the Paribhasha Sutra for all Vedic literatures. And even if you want to deal with other literatures, you know, other scriptures and that, you still, if this is the Paribhasha Sutra, it'll make some sense.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll still make sense. So in that way, it can be the Paribhasha Sutra. There are there are Paribhasa Sutras, then there is the Paribhasa Sutra. The Paribhasa Sutra that makes all other Paribhasa Sutras make sense. Adhikarana summary. So that was the Adhikarana Prakashika.
This is when we explain through Vishaya Samshaya in this format and generally write.
Okay. Then it should be something else because you have at the end a summary, right?
Yeah, so the whole thing.
Yes, yeah, so there should be some other kind of synonym that would be used.
Okay.
That would have some meaning. You know, it just means something to bring out the, you know, for that purpose. Vishaya. Okay, so Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the primeval Lord, who exhibits the complete features of Godhead. Samshaya. If Krishna is supreme, then why is he included in the list of avatars? Uttara. Purva parye purva dorbalyam prakritvad. In a list of items, the previous ones are weaker than the latter ones, as in the case of Prakriti sacrifices. Jaimini Sutra. Jaimini Mimamsa Sutra 6554. The word avatar means forms of the Lord that descend into the mature world. Even Balaram is accepted as Bhagavan because he helps Krishna. The word two, but distinguishes Bhagavan from the Amshas and Kalas and from the Purusha form. So avatar just means he comes into the material world. So if the original, the avatari, comes into the material world, he's still called an avatar. Because the definition of avatar is one who descends. Right? But the point is that there's going to be an expansions that are there, but who it ultimately expands from, that would be the avatari. Purva Paksha. One statement declaring Krishna as the Amsi is figurative, gunavad, only since there are many statements in the Bhagavatam itself declaring him to be an Amsha, such as the following. These two boys are certainly expansions, Amshena, of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who have descended to this world in the home of Vasudev, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:43:23. Who said this? Is this the Gautama? What's his name? Gargamuni. I would say in this kind of thing it would be good to put it, because
yes,
otherwise people take it as a valid Purva Paksha. But if you explain here Srimad Bhagavatam, the discussion between, you know, Gargamuni and Vasudeva, or whatever it is that's there, or like that. Uttara. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam is the Paribhasha Sutra, or explanatory phrase for all statements in the book concerning all avatars of Bhagavan. Since it gives a definition at the beginning of the book, and Krishna alone is denoted as such by later statements in the book. It is said, Ani yame niyama karani paribhasha. The paribhasha is, we need something here, which produces a definition where otherwise there is none. The paribhasha is stated once in the text and is not repeated. Thus, millions of statements are regulated by this one statement. Therefore, the statement is not figurative, but rather it is skillful in creating harmonious meaning of all contrary statements. Thus, the right meaning of the above quote verse is, the two boys are here with all the expansions, Amshena, of Vishnu. Yes. Similarly, all other seemingly contrary statements of the Bhagavatam should be seen in light of the Paribhasha Sutra. Okay, so that's what they're doing there. So even there is when you take the aspect of the potencies and that, the vibhutis of the demigods, and like Madhvacharya is always seeing it in the context of, but this potencies come from the Lord. So they're simply representing the Lord. So then when you're talking in that, I think it's Chandogya, when Indra, when he's being asked, you know, about worshipping the Supreme, then he says, worship Indra. But he doesn't mean himself, he means Krishna. Right? You know, that's in Vedanta Sutra.
Maharaj, these words are spoken by the general populace of Mathura when Krishna killed Kovalapina.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so then just put that. Because you also know the context there, that it would be natural for them to see in that way, but at the same time is then it's there, because the acharyas always mention these things. That's now it becomes more clear, because they're always seeing from that verse. They don't get distracted. the Paribhasha Sutra. Purvapaksha. No, Purvapaksha will have to come later. Okay, so Purvapaksha Siddhanta.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.